Good morning. This is your strategic briefing for today, and I need to be direct with you from the outset. What we're witnessing across multiple theaters isn't a series of isolated crises that can be managed sequentially. We're watching the simultaneous stress testing of every load-bearing pillar in the Western security architecture, and the early results should concern anyone paying attention to how power actually shifts in the international system. Let me walk you through what happened in Geneva, because the failure of those peace talks tells us far more than any successful negotiation ever could. On the surface, it looks tactical. Ukraine evolved its position from demanding complete Russian withdrawal to accepting frozen front lines. That should have created negotiating space, right? But here's what the surface analysis misses. American negotiators gave this European security crisis exactly 2 hours of substantive attention before pivoting to Iran-Israel issues. 2 hours. That's not a tactical choice. That's a signal about where American strategic bandwidth actually exists right now. Building on that point, we need to understand three converging dynamics that make any durable settlement structurally impossible at this moment. First, Ukrainian leadership is fracturing in real time. The Zelensky-Zaluzhny conflict has moved from whispered criticism to open political warfare, centered on who bears responsibility for the failed 2023 counteroffensive. Zaluzhny is positioning himself for future presidential ambitions, which means Ukraine now has internal political instability precisely when it needs maximum unity. Second, the Trump administration is pressuring Kyiv for territorial concessions that Ukrainian domestic polling shows are politically impossible. Even if you put these concessions to a referendum, Ukrainians indicate they won't accept them. Third, Russia replaced its entire negotiation team leadership, bringing back Medinsky while simultaneously launching what they're calling a traditional values policy, essentially ideological mobilization for protracted conflict. Now, the intelligence suggesting imminent U.S.-Iran escalation within days, based on Trump's historical ultimatum patterns, is what transforms this from a regional European problem into a global priority crisis. Because if American attention and military resources shift decisively toward the Middle East, European security doesn't just get deprioritized. It enters what I'm calling a strategic void. European states lack the capacity for independent action at scale, but the security environment is deteriorating whether they're ready or not. Which brings us to the Baltic region, where Estonia is making moves that deserve far more attention than they're receiving in Western media. Estonia just acquired HIMARS and K-239 Chunmoo systems. These aren't defensive weapons. These are platforms capable of striking St. Petersburg. Think about what that represents doctrinally. Estonia is shifting from defense to active deterrence through retaliation threats. They're committing 5% of GDP to defense, investing $11.8 billion through 2029. These are not the actions of a state engaged in security theater. But here's the critical vulnerability that should concern macro observers. Estonia's entire strategy depends on NATO Article 5 activation and allied response speed. A German military simulation recently suggested potential NATO paralysis in Baltic invasion scenarios, with even the United States possibly hesitating due to World War III escalation fears. So you have a gap between what Estonian planners expect and what will probably happen in a crisis. That gap is where catastrophic miscalculation lives. Meanwhile, Russia's behavior pattern suggests this isn't posturing. Systematic airspace violations, drone incursions, Kaliningrad militarization, fortifications along the Finnish border, these are preparation activities. And Estonia is responding by openly discussing hosting nuclear weapons, which tells you everything about their declining confidence in American security guarantees. The asymmetric logic is actually sound if you think through it coldly. Estonia cannot match Russia's conventional superiority. They're ranked 106th globally in military power versus Russia's second. But they can impose significant political costs by holding sensitive Russian territory at risk. The Ukrainian precedent is instructive here. Ukraine has conducted systematic deep strike operations. The Metafrax chemical plant at 994 miles deep into Russia, the Tamanavta gas terminal, the destruction of $4 billion in Russian air defenses in 2025 alone. These aren't random attacks. This is economic warfare targeting military industrial infrastructure to create negotiating leverage. Estonian planners have clearly studied these operations and are building capabilities based on what actually worked, not what NATO doctrine says should work. But let me shift to what might be the most important dimension for long-term stability, even though it's getting far less attention than troop movements and missile systems. New polling shows 22% of Europeans would accept dictatorship under certain conditions, with an additional 26% supporting unaccountable strong leaders. That's 48% of European populations potentially receptive to authoritarian governance. This isn't an abstract concern about democratic norms. This represents a fundamental vulnerability in the ideological foundation of Western security architecture, and it connects to something deeper that the prosperity-induced purposelessness analysis captures well.
Western democracies are facing internal fragmentation not primarily from external threats, but from abundance, creating existential vacuums that get filled by manufactured ideological conflicts. When populations lack genuine unifying challenges, they fracture into competing tribal identities. This makes them vulnerable to both domestic polarization and foreign influence operations. Meanwhile, Russia is institutionalizing the opposite approach. Their new traditional values policy introduces school indoctrination and media censorship explicitly designed to create ideological cohesion for sustained conflict. Moscow is building long-term societal mobilization while Western populations exhibit what can only be called democratic fatigue. Secretary of State Rubio's Munich speech last week represents an American attempt to rebuild Western civilizational solidarity, but the approach is revealing. He explicitly rejected the post-1945 decolonization framework, abandoning traditional diplomatic language about rights and equality in favor of civilizational competition framing. Now, this may resonate with certain constituencies, but the strategic calculus here is risky. You're abandoning the very principles that enabled Western alliance coherence in an attempt to resist multipolar fragmentation. That could accelerate the outcome you're trying to prevent. And we can see alliance fracture points opening in real time. Hungary's increasingly hostile rhetoric toward Ukraine, claiming the conflict doesn't defend Europe, demonstrates how economic dependencies can override collective security commitments. Hungary's gas dependence on Russia creates incentive structures that trump security considerations. Brussels keeps accommodating this defection to maintain formal unity, which reveals the EU's structural inability to enforce solidarity when core interests diverge. This pattern could replicate across other energy-vulnerable states as conflict costs accumulate. The economic warfare dimension is producing measurable effects. Insurance rates for Black Sea shipping have increased from 0.6 to 0.8% up to 1% of vessel value. That adds $56 million annually to Russian shadow fleet costs. Russian oil exports declined by 420,000 barrels per day in November 2024. These numbers demonstrate that economic warfare works, but they also preview the cost escalation facing European economies. Now, there's a seemingly domestic American issue that actually carries foreign policy implications worth noting. The H-1B visa controversy might sound like internal politics, but it has second-order effects for Indo-Pacific relations. Governor Abbott pausing H-1B hiring at Texas institutions, Attorney General Paxton launching fraud investigations, this represents state-level policy fragmentation that could affect bilateral relations with India. Trump's promise to revoke citizenship for naturalized immigrants convicted of fraud signals potential escalation in skilled immigration restrictions. This has implications not just for U.S. tech sector competitiveness, but for diplomatic relationships with key H-1B source countries. India is watching this closely. So let me synthesize what this means for power dynamics and where we should be focusing monitoring efforts. We're potentially witnessing a phase transition from American-led liberal order to genuinely contested multipolarity. The simultaneity of these crises, Ukraine stalemate, Middle East escalation, Baltic tensions, alliance fractures, exceeds American bandwidth for management. This creates opportunities for revisionist powers and risks of cascading failures. If the predicted US-Iran conflict materializes, expect several second-order effects. European isolation on Ukraine with insufficient capacity for independent action, energy market disruption that reinforces autocratic leverage over vulnerable democracies, acceleration of European nuclear deterrence discussions as American commitment doubts deepen, and potentially Russian opportunism in the Baltics if US attention diverts eastward. The third-order effects are what should keep strategic planners awake at night. Democratic fragility amid that 48% European receptivity to authoritarianism creates conditions for internal political transformation happening concurrently with external security deterioration. The historical parallels to the 1930s interwar period are imperfect but instructive. Economic stress, institutional distrust, and security anxiety can produce rapid political regime changes. The current moment actually resembles 1905 to 1914 more than Cold War paradigms. Multiple regional conflicts, alliance system rigidity combined with commitment ambiguity, great powers pursuing incompatible objectives while claiming they desire stability, and domestic political instability in major states. The key difference is nuclear weapons, which create catastrophic downside risks that didn't exist in earlier multipolar competitions. The critical uncertainties we need to monitor are these. Can NATO Article 5 actually function in a Baltic invasion scenario given those German simulation results? Will US-Iran escalation materialize in the predicted timeframe? Can the Ukrainian government maintain domestic cohesion given the Zelensky's illusiony fracture? And does Rubio's civilizational rhetoric represent durable US policy or just transient administration positioning? I want you to game out three primary scenarios. First, controlled deterioration, where the Ukraine conflict freezes without resolution, Baltic tensions remain sub-threshold, and democratic institutions muddle through. Second, cascading failure, where Middle East war diverts U.S. attention, enabling a Russian-Baltic adventure, European political fragmentation accelerates, and the alliance system fragments. Third, authoritarian consolidation, where democratic fatigue produces political transformations in multiple European states, creating new accommodation dynamics with Russia. The convergence of military, economic, political, and ideological pressures across multiple theaters suggests the current order's stress points are approaching critical thresholds. The question isn't whether transformation occurs. The question is whether it happens through managed transition or systemic breakdown. Here's what to watch in the next 48 hours. Monitor for any U.S. military repositioning toward the Middle East. That's your earliest indicator of the attention shift that changes everything else. Watch Ukrainian internal political dynamics. If the Zelensky-Zaluzhny conflict escalates, that constrains Kyiv negotiating flexibility. And pay attention to any Russian force movements in the Kaliningrad corridor or Belarus. The window for opportunistic action opens when American attention diverts. Stay vigilant. Until tomorrow.